Welcome to High Ticket Woman, the podcast for Christian women who are relationship challenged, and they know that to make changes, it starts with them wanting more, expecting more, and becoming more. Here's your host, Debbie Cottle. Hey, welcome back to another episode of High Ticket Woman. I'm your host for today, Debbie Cottle. Okay, we're talking about our second pillar of overall well-being, which is so critical to being a high-ticket woman. And that's all about your mental health or your mental well-being. And, you know, I mentioned this a couple episodes ago when I was going over just an overview of the four pillars that, you know, being mentally well, it doesn't mean the absence of mental illness. People can struggle with mental health issues, but still have good quality mental well-being. So I want to talk today about how that's possible. How do we do that? What does good mental well-being look like? You know, even if you have bouts of anxiety or depression, or you're struggling with something else that has to do with your mental health, you can still recognize who you are as a woman, what your God-given abilities and talents are, and be able to use them in a productive and fruitful way so that you can contribute to your family, your friends, other people's lives, your community, so that you feel like you matter. And the other part of good mental well-being is your ability to handle the normal stressors of life, the normal ups and downs that everybody goes through. So we're going to look at four different aspects of mental well-being today. But before we do that, I want to talk about what most people think of when they think about mental well-being. You know, often people think about being happy. And I hear this a lot when I work with women. I mean, everybody wants to feel happier about their life, right? That's certainly true for me. And often we think of experiencing things that are filled with pleasure. We want our lives to be full of sunshine, right? Joyful, happy. And so we think about things like hanging out with our friends and, you know, enjoying good food, good wine, social events, hobbies, entertainment. We see people chasing that a lot in life, right? And there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with getting enjoyment out of doing those kinds of things, because those things do bring pleasure to our lives. But there's a deeper level of mental well-being that has to do with living a meaningful, purposeful life and trying to reach our fullest potential, our fullest God-given potential. So how do we find meaning in our lives? Well, this has to do with having a vision for our future and then setting up goals and completing them, which again has to do with contributing again to society, right? And challenging ourselves to learn new skills and develop different talents that we have, or to try something completely different. So that's the type of mental well-being we're going to focus on today. And we're going to break that down again into four different keys or categories. So let's talk first about the first key to positive mental well-being, which is having a sense of purpose and meaning in our lives. How do we find meaning in our lives? Well, I talked a lot about this last time in the last episode, in that the most important way to find meaning in our lives is through our relationship with God. And as we dive into God's word, we get a whole lot of direction and information about what God actually intends for each of us and what his plans are for us and the kind of life that he really wants us to have. So we start with that. We start with building that best friend kind of relationship with him. Because I promise you that having that kind of relationship with God is going to give you that greater sense of meaning. But there are other things in addition that are going to help you as well find purpose in your life. I think a really important aspect to this is understanding the true meaning of happiness. Again, it starts with God's word. That's an awesome place to really figure out the real meaning of happiness. Because you see, the kind of happiness that's going to last, it doesn't come from pleasure seeking. It doesn't come from what I was referring to a moment ago, you know, all the fun things that we can do in life that, you know, we enjoy. No, it comes from making right decisions. And high ticket women know this. High ticket women know that when they make decisions based on their core values, their core beliefs, that the way they feel about themselves is going to lead to an inner state of happiness. And core values never move, okay? They're solid, right? They're not situational. For example, let's say that you value honesty, but your boss wants you to falsify a report. And you're afraid you might lose your job, so you go ahead and compromise with that value. You lie on the report. So in that situation, your fear made the decision for you, not your value of honesty. Well, high-ticket women don't do that. High-ticket women know that whatever they value, it should never move from situation to situation. Our values stay the same. And happiness, internal happiness, is a state of what we're really talking about here. It's a state of contentment and a peace, if we can put it that way, that comes from within, again, that stems from your relationship with God. And when you understand that kind of happiness, as opposed to, you know, what kind of fun thing am I going to do this weekend? You know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, like, for example, Jeff and I are going to go to the ballet here this next week, Swan Lake, actually. And I'm really looking forward to it because, you know, I don't get to do that very often. And so, yeah, I'm going to get some pleasure out of going to the ballet. But when that ballet's over, my life's going to go back to, you know, the mundane, normal routine that I have of getting up and going to work, seeing clients, making podcasts, writing blogs, etc. And while, sure, I can enjoy those things, it's still work, right? Sometimes it's a lot of fun and sometimes it's tiring and exhausting. So I can pursue fun things to do. But my point is this, happiness based on that is fleeting. Those things only bring us moments of joy. As a high-ticket woman, I want to be in a constant state of contentment with my life. And that kind of happiness has to do with me making right decisions, values-based decisions. That's what's going to positively affect my overall mental well-being. Another way to find meaning in your life is to, and again, I've touched on this already, to let your talents and your abilities, the gifts that God's given you, open some doors for you. And there's a lot of different ways that you might do this. You might find ways to volunteer. You might let your talents lead you to a new job opportunity. Maybe you use your talents at church to help serve or serve in your community, okay? You know, God built within us this desire and need to serve. And when we're helping other people, when we're giving of ourselves and the things that we are good at in a service-oriented way, whether we're getting paid or not, because you can find joy in helping people and still getting paid. But either way, being paid or doing it on a voluntary basis, that gives you a sense of meaning to your life. Another way is to build connections with people who like the same things that you do. We'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the episode today. But that means, right, you got to go out and make connections, right? You know, I love to write. That is hands down one of my favorite things to do. So one of the ways that I might make connections with people is if I joined a writer's group. You know, and I'm also an entrepreneur, so maybe I could join a group of entrepreneurs who think like I do. And that's, again, going to add meaning to my life because I'm making connections with people who I can learn from and who can potentially learn from me, who help me grow professionally. And when I set the bar high for myself with what I want to accomplish, well, then I create challenges for myself. If I only set goals that are easy to accomplish, that doesn't add a lot of meaning to my life. But when I set that bar high and I ask myself, Debbie, what can you really actually accomplish? What are you really capable of? Well, then that gives me purpose, right? Gives me something to reach for above and beyond just moving from one fun activity to the next. Gives me something purposeful to do. Another way to increase meaning in your life is to commit to something. maybe there's something you've always wanted to do, something you've always wanted to accomplish, or somewhere you've always wanted to travel to. You know, I'm working with a woman right now who's pretty close to retirement, and she's really well connected to her church, and she loves her job. She's an art teacher. And she's already thinking ahead to how she wants to transition from her full-time job, but still use her art to help other people. So she's thinking about and working towards building an online presence and putting together content for other art teachers. What a great example of someone who's looking to find meaning in her life beyond the meaning that she gets just from her full-time job. Another woman I work with is a really talented musician, and she's really committed to her music, even though she's not doing it professionally. It's really more of a hobby, but everything she goes through in her personal life, she puts into her music. So unfortunately, she recently lost her cat, and she's already finding a way to channel that grief into a new musical composition that she's creating, which again gives her purpose and meaning for going through something really difficult. Okay, she's channeling it into something that she really values. Okay, let's move on to our second area of mental well-being, which is personal development or self-development. When we are constantly striving to grow as women, high-ticket women, it means we have to focus on our own personal development, because that again contributes to our overall mental well-being. One of the most important things about this that's hard for all of us is staying positive, because you know that inner critic that we all struggle with, it tries to sabotage our efforts every single time. I mean, we have to constantly monitor our thoughts, right? We have to be able to shut that inner critic down and go, nope, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do, or who I am, or what I'm capable of. And you know, another really important thing when it comes to self-development is about knowing where you want to go in your life and then moving yourself towards it. And again, that involves having a vision, being able to see really clearly what kind of life you want for yourself, and then setting up goals and systems for creating that. And if you can't visualize the life you want, you're not going to achieve it. I mean, as the saying goes, if you have no idea where you want to go, how are you going to know when you get there? Another important aspect to self-development is to stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Don't compete with what you see everybody else around you doing. Only focus on what you're trying to achieve. You know, for many years, I had the goal of wanting to write a book. And finally, 5 years ago, I sat down and made myself do it. But let's say that I also had a goal to sell 1 million copies of my book by now. Well, if that were true, I would have to call myself a failure, because that hasn't happened yet. So I don't want to set myself up in that way. I can set myself marketing goals. I can say, Debbie, you're going to promote your book in certain kinds of ways, and I can accomplish those steps, right? I can create systems, and we'll talk more about that in a future episode, but I can create systems for how to do that. But whether or not people actually buy my book is out of my control. Because if I pin my development, my personal development on how many copies of my book sells, then I'm gonna look around me and at every other author and go, well, how come their book's selling so much better than mine? That only sets me up to feel discouragement, right? And again, a lot of times we quit at that point. We give up and we think of ourselves, or that inner critic in our head says, you're a failure. You didn't set out to achieve what you were going to achieve, because, you know, look at where you are right now. And that's because we're busy comparing ourselves to everybody else. And so we feel like we're falling short. Another important thing when it comes to personal development is to set yourself small goals or small challenges. Don't set the bar impossibly high for yourself, because then it doesn't happen in the way you want or the time frame you want it, and then you're just beating yourself up over it. No, instead you want little small things that you can grow and improve in, so that again, it adds to your overall quality of life and sense of well-being instead of diminishing it, right? But that means you have to be persistent. I find this all the time in my business, that there are a lot of ways that I could feel really discouraged and easily give up and quit. So I don't focus on those things. I just focus on the small little goals that I can actually accomplish. And again, the systems that I have put in place to accomplish those goals. And I don't measure my success, again, on what other people are reading or listening or watching about what I put out there. I just focus on, Debbie, did you write your blog for this month? Yep, check. Did you record a podcast episode this week, Debbie? Yep, check. Did you post some reels to Facebook this week? Yep, check. And as long as I do those things, I'm meeting my objectives. So that takes me then to the next part of self-development. That allows me to celebrate what I've accomplished. Did anybody listen this week? I don't know, because I'm not going to pin my sense of well-being to that. Instead, I'm going to reward myself for what I set out to accomplish. And I know that if I'm persistent, which is another part of self-development, then I'm going to make it. If I just keep putting one foot in front of the other over and over and over, I'm going to be successful, however I define that. And this can apply to anything in our lives, right? I mean, I'm using my professional goals as an example. But whatever we set out to do, we have to know there's going to be setbacks. I mean, the path I'm on is going to be filled with some hurdles that I have to overcome. So part of my self-development in this process is to not give up. I have to be resilient. That means if Facebook changes their algorithm on me 100 times, doesn't matter. I'm going to figure it out. If all social media platforms change or go away, I'll figure it out. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. As long as I don't quit, I'll be successful. And the same is true for you in whatever area of self-development you're focusing on. You have to keep going. You've got to be resilient. You've got to believe that you can overcome any obstacles no matter what. They might slow you down, but you're going to find a way to get over them. And yeah, they might discourage you for a while, but then you pick yourself up and you keep on going. And that's easier to do when you have a positive view of yourself, which is the third part of good mental well-being, having a positive self-concept. I mean, I think it's an important question to ask. Do you even like yourself? What do you like about yourself? You know, I challenge you to make a list of what you see your positive qualities as being. You know, when I ask women to do this, it sort of always shocks me to see us as women struggle with this question. What do you even like about yourself? What are the good things about you that are worth focusing on and celebrating? And if you are struggling with this, then I encourage you to reach out to your loved ones, the people that really know you well and matter to you, and let them tell you what your positive qualities are. This can be a really great exercise just to find out what people who really know you think about you and what they love about you. Remember, though, the goals and objectives that you have for yourself, they have to be reasonable. And when it comes to a positive self-image of yourself, if you don't have reasonable goals and objectives, you're going to give your inner critic all kinds of ammunition to beat you up with, because we are never going to obtain the impossible. So in other words, if you're a perfectionist, you're always going to be disappointed in yourself. You'll never measure up. So the final thing then about developing a good positive image of yourself is that you have to really understand how your thinking can get so twisted up and distorted. There's all kinds of just what I like to call stinking thinking that gets in our way. And you got to know what those ways are and be able to stop them. I'll save that for another episode. Okay, the fourth and final way I want to talk to you today about having a great sense of mental well-being is in your social connections with others. When you have good quality social connections, your overall mental well-being is going to be so much better. You know, loneliness is an actual epidemic right now. And it has such a huge negative impact on our lives. In fact, a 2023 report from the U.S. Surgeon General states that more and more people now are feeling isolated, invisible, and sadly, even insignificant. People of all ages and socioeconomic backgrounds from every corner of the country feel alone, like they have to shoulder all of life's burdens by themselves. And that if they were to disappear tomorrow, no one would even notice. How incredibly sad is that? And you know, loneliness is far more than just a bad feeling. According to this same report, loneliness harms us both individually and societally. It's associated with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and even premature death. And this one really blew me out of the water. The mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Can you believe that? I'm going to say that again in case you didn't actually register that. The mortality impact of being socially disconnected is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Wow. By contrast, people who are well connected, socially connected, live longer by up to 50%. Yeah, that's 50, 50%, which makes social connection absolutely essential to our overall well-being. So, okay, how do we do that? How do we have strong social connections? Well, the key to this is being genuine. When you open yourself up to people, and of course there's a right way to do this and there's a wrong way to do this, but when you take genuine interest in other people, when you're a good listener, and when you open up about yourself, well, you build a connection that comes across as authentic and genuine and sincere. And there's a lot of ways you can build connection with people, right? You can spend more time with people you already know and love, like your family and friends. But you can also build connections with people through your work, through volunteering, through learning a hobby, by joining a group or a club. Lots of different ways you can put yourself out there and start meeting people. You've got to be open to new experiences. And you can't judge your current or future experiences by what's happened in the past. Yeah, I know you've been hurt. Me too. You got to be okay with imperfect because we're all flawed. So yes, people are going to let us down at times. They're going to disappoint us. They're going to hurt us. And vice versa. We're going to do the same to people in our lives. That's just how it is. Unfortunately, as human beings, hurt goes hand in hand with being open to love. But you know what? It's okay. You've survived hurt. You're still here. You can and will get through relationship disappointments, and they are inevitable. And in that process, if you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't become a hermit, you will find and build genuine, loving connections with others. So, quick review. What are the four keys to mental well-being? Well, number one, having purpose and meaning in your life. Number two, personal development. Never, ever stop growing. Number three, a positive self-concept. The way you view yourself is so critical to your overall mental well-being. And fourth, stay connected with people. All right, ladies, that's it for today's episode. Next week, it's going to be all about emotion, managing the highs, the lows, and everything in between. So be sure to join me next week as we continue our journey towards being a high-ticket woman. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe so you can be notified of future episodes. I really appreciate it when you do that because we're just trying to do everything we can to grow a membership here. Finally, if you want to improve your relationship, romantic or otherwise, okay, it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, any relationship you want to improve, be sure to download my 10-step relationship rescue roadmap. You can get that by just simply going to my website, debbiecaudle.com. That's Debbie, D-E-B-B-I-E, Caudle, C-A-U-D-L-E.com. I'll see you next week.
For more episodes, just go to debbiecaudle.com. And while you're there, get your free copy of my guide, 10-Step Relationship Rescue Roadmap.